USC defensive tackles Feely Moala at podium 2, Patriots head coach Bill Belichick at podium 3.
Well, it's kind of interesting to be here at this stadium. You know, as the combine's kind of moved along, come a long way. I remember being at Arizona State as it was getting dark, standing out there watching the fridge do his vertical jump. That was quite a sight to see. And of course, come to the dome, and now coming in here. It's amazing how the combine has grown in every turn, really. The media, the agents, and the players, and the preparation for it, and all these guys that you know, spend months getting ready for it. So it's quite a become quite an event. And but it's fun to be a part of it. It's good to see the college players. Unfortunately, I've seen a little bit more of them this year than I have in a couple of the previous years. But that being said, it's always an enjoyable part of the process to, you know, to start to get to know them. And the interviews, I think that's always one of the most interesting parts of the combine. I've never thought, and I don't think that you can ever, you know, analyze a player in a 10-minute interview. I think that's, you know, really stretching it. But I just find it interesting to see where some of these kids have come from, what their background is, who's important to them in their life, what coaches or what teammates or what situations they've been through that have kind of shaped the way that they are, the way they approach the game, or the way they prepare, or things like that. So I find that very interesting. We've certainly had a lot of interesting ones this week. So that's, you know, that's kind of the fun part of coming here and getting to know the players, especially when you use so many in just one sitting as opposed to traveling around the country to, you know, make those trips. You spend all day talking to one or two players, you know, here you can get that done in a half hour. So that's a big part of it for us. Certainly, you know, seeing some of the people here that were very recently with us, people like Tom Dimitroff, you know, did a tremendous job this year in Atlanta. Certainly should be the executive of the year. The turnaround that team had was magnificent, along with the job that, you know, Bill and Tony did in Miami. But you know, seeing Thomas and catching up with him, you know, Scott's a guy, you know, I can't say enough about what he's meant to our organization and myself personally, what a tremendous job he's done in every phase of his responsibilities with the team, from personnel to contracts to team management and planning and so forth. You know, it's been awesome. You know, George being in Cleveland now, I remember I was this close to firing him because he was one of the jobs when he was first there was driving guys to the airport. He got in an accident, and I wasn't too happy about that. But you know, George has done a tremendous job, and I'm really happy for him. And you know, of course, Schwartzy was another guy that was kind of in that same group there at Cleveland, and kind of tired of hearing about the turkey sandwich story. I don't really remember it that way, but Schwartzy was probably as smart as any person
I've ever worked with. Kevin Ellison,
a brilliant guy. Of course, Georgetown graduate, but Schwartzy is one of those guys that you could give him 10 different things to do and come to him at any point in time and say, hey, you know, where are we on this? And he'd have it for you in a second, and then you'd throw two or three other things at him. Hey, Jimmy, can you take care of this? Can you take care of that? And half the time he would say, hey, Coach, I already started on that, and here's where I am. So it's okay on what I'm doing. So he was, you know, part mind reader, tremendous work ethic, and really just extremely intelligent. So I'm sure he'll do a great job in Detroit, as he did at Tennessee. And that was, you know, when I first took the job in New England, Jeff was one of the first calls I made there to inquire about Schwartzy and wanted to bring him to New England, and he was a quality control coach. And so Jeff said, well, what do you have in mind? You're going to make him a, you know, quality control guy. I'm not going to let him go for a lateral move. And I said, no, Jeff, I wouldn't expect you to. I would, you know, bring him here to the coach position, coach linebackers. Jeff said, well, I think I'm going to make him the coordinator. So we lost out on bringing him to New England, but again, I have a tremendous amount of respect for for Jimmy and what he's accomplished, and I'm sure he'll do a great job in Detroit. We've had some changes since the end of the season at New England, and we've had those in the past, so it's not something we haven't dealt with before. Scott, again, no way I could express into words how much he's meant to us. It's been great working with Nick and to bring Floyd into the organization. Floyd and I go back quite a ways, too far, but it's been great. It's only been a few weeks with Floyd, but Nick, of course, we've had a long relationship with Nick, both on the coaching end of it, the scouting end of it. He's done a lot of different things for us and done them all very well, and it's been very invigorating to work with him and Floyd over the last a few weeks, pulling things together on all fronts, and preparing for the draft and free agency and some of our current player and personnel situations, and kind of reorganizing and revamping some things in the personnel department. So that's been a good experience, and as much as we'll miss Scott, we're moving on in that direction. Brad Seeley was one of the coaches that I held over when I came to New England. Did a tremendous job for us. Sorry to see him move on, but at the same time, it's great to be reunited with Scott O'Brien. There's no coach that I respect more than Scott O'Brien. He did a tremendous job for me at Cleveland, and I think the world of him and what he does. He's very thorough. I've learned an awful lot from my 5 years with Scott in Cleveland as far as evaluating players. I coached special teams for 8 years, and he certainly does it a lot better than I did. I've learned an awful lot from him through our association in Cleveland and our continuing friendship. So it's great to have him back. Dom Capers was a class guy, one of the classiest people in our business, and I'm happy for him and his new position at Green Bay. I'm sure he'll do a great job there. He's a great defensive mind. He's had a tremendous career. And Josh Borough will move into that spot with the secondary. And Josh is one of the guys that's been started at the bottom and has worked his way up and worked hard and done a great job for us. And I'm sure he'll do well in that spot. Same thing at tight end with Pete going to Tampa and getting an opportunity to reunite with Raheem, who's in the yard at Cornell, of course, and coach the offensive line, which I know is a passion of his. Shane, again, is a guy that came to us at the bottom and then went and spent a couple years with Charlie and then came back last year. And so he'll be working with tight ends this year, and I think that's certainly a responsibility that he deserves. We'll do a good job at. Couldn't say enough about Josh. That's certainly a loss personally. Consider Josh a great friend, certainly a great coach. Charlie, came in 2000 when I came in and did a tremendous job with our offense. We won championships and we took it to a very productive level. And then Josh took that, and I think has even continued to have it grow and expand as we've been able to maintain continuity within our system, both coaches and players. I'm sure that Josh will do a great job in Denver on all fronts. He's worked in every area, really, of our organization, personnel, defense, offense, very knowledgeable in every area of the game. And that's a great addition for the Broncos. And certainly a loss for us, but it's an opportunity for other coaches on our staff to move up. We'll kind of change a little bit of our offensive staff around. That still is not quite complete yet, so I'll comment on that any further other than to talk about the situation there with Shane replacing Pete there at tight ends. And so that's those are some of the changes that we've had on our end. As we head into free agency, I'm sure there'll be more changes like there always are, and we'll be active with trying to improve our team in whatever way we can. I wouldn't at this time be able to give you any updates on personnel situations or contracts or any injury updates, things like that. Right now, we're just here trying to evaluate the players at the combine, and when we get back, then start to prepare the next few days for the coming free agency period at the end of the week. So it's been a busy all season, but I feel like it's been a productive one. We definitely have a lot of work to do, like all the other 31 teams in the league. Again, it's been kind of fun to, you know, see some of the people here that meant so much to our team or my career over the years. At the same time, I think it's a little, I don't know what the right word is, kind of just doesn't seem right, really, to not have people like, you know, Mike Shanahan and John Gruden, Brian Billick, Steve Mariucci, guys that I've coached against, and in some cases not very well, not the head coaches in the National Football League. Mike Shanahan, I'm certainly a Hall of Fame coach. I know I got to be on the list of people that he'll thank because all the games that have been scheduled against us, he's done pretty well, including when I was an assistant at the Jets and even with the Patriots. So I know I haven't beaten him too many times. I'm not disappointed to not have him on our schedule, believe me, but it's just hard to believe that the coaches like Mike Shanahan and John Gruden aren't coaching the National Football League. But that's not my decision. That being said, it's that we got plenty of things to do ourselves. I'm not trying to comment on everybody else's situation, but it's just odd for them to be here, but not in a coaching capacity. But that's the National Football League. So, any questions on the combine, the draft? Rex has had a tremendous career. He's done a great job at Baltimore. Coached with his brother, Rob, and they're very much alike, so I feel like I know Rex, even though I don't really know Rex, but I have tremendous respect for what he's done with the Ravens and the players that he's developed and the schemes that he runs. Comes from a great football family, and I'm sure it'll be very competitive against the Jets, as it always is.
Bill, what are your early thoughts on the defensive end / 3-4 outside linebacker crop in this draft that you've seen?
The 34 outside linebacker, 4-3 defensive end group and all that, I think it's an interesting group. I think there's some very talented players there, guys from different backgrounds, guys that have been in coverage, guys that haven't been in coverage, with pass rush ability, you know, the Rapkos and the Englishes and guys like that. So that'll be part of the process as we go forward to try to figure out how they would fit into, in our case, our system, how we utilize them, what their skills are and how that translates. I think there's an awful lot of teams playing a 34 defense now, certainly compared to 2000 when I came to New England. It was, you know, pretty much just us in Pittsburgh, and now you have teams in our division, many teams in the AFC, old teams in the NFC, so you probably got, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 teams, you know, basing out of 34 defense, and that's made those positions, the outside linebacker position, the 34 nose tackle position, very competitive and very unique from the 4-3 complementary spots. So, scheme has an awful lot to do with, you know, how those players are evaluated from club to club.
Well, why are so many of those teams going to them?
I don't know. Some of that's, assistant coaches going to take their system somewhere else. Romeo going to Cleveland to take the 34 to Cleveland, or Rex going from Baltimore to take that system to the Jets. I'm sure he's not going to change his system. He's been too successful with it. Or Mike Nolan when he went to San Francisco, now Denver. So, it was a little bit like the West Coast offense when Mike Holmgren, John Gruden, and Andy Reid, and all those guys, Brian Billick, and all those guys left the Walsh system and were head coaches. And this league is a heavy West Coast offense, which it still is in the NFC North. It's trendy, but that's the NFL. Things kind of go, are a bit cyclical. And right now, 3-4 defense seems to be as about as popular as it was back in the 80s when they actually had some Pro Bowl positions that followed the 3-4 defense to recognize some of those players on the, you know, the Pro Bowl level.
So what's up? How happy Ford Reese is to be back in the game after a couple years out?
You know, Floyd's pretty happy with everything. He's an upbeat, easygoing guy that has a great football background. I think Floyd is, like several people that I've worked with in New England, he's been a special teams coach. He's been a strength coach. He's been a defensive linebacker, defensive coordinator, assistant general manager for the Titans for 13 years. So he's been in pretty much every aspect of professional football that you could be in. Coaching, the administrative side of it, the hiring and firing, the contracts, the negotiating with agents, all those things. He has a wealth of experience. Floyd kind of, as much as anybody, you know, kind of mentored me when I got to Detroit. Our staff was an older staff, and Floyd and I were the two youngest coaches on the staff. We ended up living a couple blocks away from each other, and he, you know, we kind of hung out together, you know, rode to work and rode to the games, and work together in the kicking game, and work. I was coaching the tight ends. He was working with linebackers. You know, we do drills against each other. So we communicated a lot. We had a friendship as well as a coaching relationship, and I just have always admired and respected Floyd for what he's been able to do. I mean, even as a player, you look at him. It's hard to believe he's All-American tackle at 5'11" or whatever he was, but that's the way he played. And he's a great achiever and a great worker, and that was something that rubbed off on me early. His work ethic and his determination and his versatility as a coach, and I think that's something that I appreciated very early in my career, and I'm glad I did. So glad to have Floyd. I'm glad to be able to work with Floyd again. I didn't know whether that would ever happen a few years ago, but I'm glad it's worked out that way. Really enjoyed him.
What do you think about this group of defense back?
I think there's some interesting guys here. You know, there's some corners, there's some safeties, and then there's some guys that kind of fall in between. We'll have to determine how they'll fall in a particular system. I think that the safety position is becoming more and more of a corner position in the National Football League. There were times when some of the safety, particularly the strong safeties, fit more almost like linebackers than they did as defensive backs. I think that's changed gradually, but now to the point where your defensive backs a lot of times either have to cover wide receivers or they have to cover tight ends who are very, very good in the passing game. Not little guys that are running 5-yard hook routes and stuff like that, but you know, the tight ends in the league, which seems like just about every team has one, that can get down the field, make athletic and acrobatic catches, and get open and beat tight coverage. So I think the demands of that position have changed, and I think that's changed the evaluation a little bit. So maybe some of those hybrid guys that are have played corner, have played safety, like Jenkins, for example, is a guy that's played both. What his best fit will be for a team, where his most valuable will be, is certainly an interesting discussion for all teams.
Bill, you mentioned some veteran head coaches that are not working now. Also, guys like Mike Barnes and Jim Babb,
five million
jobs. Why do you think
there's a trend? I'm glad you followed up with that, because I feel the same way about that as I do about the head coaches. I mean, Mike Martz, there's another Super Bowl winner, and Jim Haslett. I have tremendous respect for Jim Haslett and what he's done. So, again, I can't really speak for what other teams are doing or not doing. That's, believe me, I'm a handful trying to just coach the team that I'm on. But it's, as a coach, it's just sort of, it's a little bit of an empty feeling to see people like that not in the game. Much as I don't want to compete against them, I mean, they certainly deserve to be at this level. I mean, they're great coaches. Mike Martz has had a tremendous offensive career, and so is Jim on the defensive side of the ball, as well as being head coach.
Brandon Underwood, so, Cincinnati at podium 2.
I don't know. You have to ask the people to hire him.
Do you feel like that trend is unfair to experience, the trend of going young and with these young hot
players? Again, I don't know. I'm just trying to coach the Patriots, really. I'm not trying to solve the world's problem.
What are your feelings when you look back at the Cleveland days, especially now you see more and more of the coaches going on to bigger and better things?
Well, again, I was very fortunate in Cleveland to work with some of the great people that were there. Nick Saban, Scott O'Brien, Kirk Ferentz, Pat Hill. You go right down the line. I mean, it was Scott, Mike Lombardi, George, Phil Savage, Ozzy. I mean, it was a tremendous group of people. Terry McDonough, Tom Dimitroff, Tom's dad, I'm a senior, Dom and Ailey. It was a great opportunity for me. I learned from all those people. I had some outstanding the opportunity to work with some outstanding people on a lot of different levels. Ernie Accorsi was another great person to learn from there. So all those different relationships, coaching, scouting, and the integrating of all those different things into an organization. I think that had a lot to do with the success that we had from, 91 to the 11-5 season in 94. Was the work of the staff, not just the players, but the coaches and the development of the younger players. Some of the offensive linemen that were developed by, like, Pat Hill and Kirk Ferentz, and, the people like Mike Lombardi selected or signed as free agents, the Wally Williams, the Herman Harveys, the Tony Joneses, the Orlando Browns, Bob Dahls, who's a defensive lineman conversion. So, I think there are a lot of things that we learned from, a lot of things to be proud of about the accomplishments that we had there between that 91 and 94 period. And a lot of that had to do with the staff and the people that were there. So, okay, thank you very much.